The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Tuesday, November the 30th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. The man suspected of accidentally firing his gun at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport earlier this month has turned himself in to the Clayton County Jail. It happened this afternoon. In a statement, Atlanta police say Kenny Wells Jr. is charged with carrying a weapon at a commercial airport, reckless conduct, discharging a firearm on the property of another, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. A TSA agent pulled Wells' bag aside for a secondary search. Wells then allegedly went for the firearm in the bag, causing it to go off. Officials say Wells then fled the airport with the weapon. There were no serious injuries, but the incident did cause major security delays and air traffic was grounded for nearly 2 hours. Today is Election Day. Turnout at the polls has been generally slow, but there were some early risers in Atlanta casting their votes in the runoffs. Omema Kabi was at the Ponce de Leon Library in Northeast Atlanta. She says she waited in a line around the block during the 2020 election, but today, well, she was in and out.
I just think it's really important that, especially in these runoff elections where, like, fewer people vote, to make sure that your voice gets counted. And I just thought, you know, get it over with earlier in the morning, not let other things distract me later on.
Well, Fulton County reported that none of its 184 precincts had a wait time above 5 minutes as of 10 a.m. Well, the situation changed little by afternoon as voters were able to cast a ballot fairly quickly at the Metropolitan Library branch in Southwest Atlanta. Tabitha Rush is one. She worries the runoff election isn't drawing a large number of voters.
For it to be such a low voter turnout is surprising to me. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that after people get off work today, this library will be slammed with people.
Jordan Anderson, a DeKalb County resident, is voting in the Atlanta mayoral runoff. WABE caught up with Jordan at St. Philip AME Church on Candler Road.
People seem pretty engaged. I've been in a couple of my group chats and just, you know, reminding people that today is the day to vote. And, yeah, it's a cold Tuesday, so, you know, may not see a great turnout, but I think it's still very important.
And if you are outside of the city limits of Atlanta, you have until 7 o'clock to vote. Those inside the city limits have until 8. Well, there are lots of contests around the metro, but the highest profile race for Atlantans is electing a new city mayor. The runoff pits two city council members against each other. As Susanna Capoluto reports, crime and affordable housing are the major issues in the race.
Atlanta City Council President Felicia Moore finished first in the November 2nd election, but didn't get a majority. She's facing City Councilmember Andre Dickens, an Atlanta native, who did get the endorsement of the current mayor, Keisha Lenz Bottoms. To combat an increase in violent crime, both candidates said they would hire more police and boost training. They also vowed to build more affordable housing on city-owned land. Both candidates are Democrats, but the mayoral election in Atlanta is nonpartisan. Voter turnout for the first round was about 30%. It is expected to be even lower for the runoff. Susanna Capoluto, WABE News.
In addition to the Atlanta mayor's race, voters will also be choosing a new city council president today. Molly Samuel has more.
Current Atlanta City Council President Felicia Moore is in a runoff to be the city's next mayor, but no one running to replace her got enough votes to avoid a runoff either. The two candidates for council president are Natalyn Archibong, who's a city council member, and Doug Shipman, the former CEO of the Woodruff Arts Center and the Center for Civil and Human Rights. The city council president doesn't usually vote on legislation, but they do run council meetings and make committee assignments. Molly Samuel, WABE News.
Georgia is set to receive more than $9 billion in federal money to upgrade the state's highways and bridges. As WABE's Emil Moffitt reports, transportation officials are keeping a close eye on labor and material shortages as they map out future projects.
Much of the concrete currently being used for construction at Georgia 400 and 285 comes from a massive rock quarry in Norcross owned by Vulcan. The company's vice president, Jimmy Fleming, says that proximity reduces the need for interstate truck drivers, which are in high demand.
Well, having a local source of material is important because transportation is a huge part of the cost.
And Vulcan, with its hundreds of facilities across the country, stands to be one of the big beneficiaries of this surge in spending, if it can keep up.
We're confident that we'll be able to supply what is needed by this new infrastructure bill.
Local transportation officials echo that optimism, pointing to current construction projects, which they say are still mostly on schedule. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
An Atlanta property with a horrific past is on its way to being protected from industrial development. The city of Atlanta is moving to buy the former site of the Chattahoochee Brick Company, which used forced labor, prison labor, from around the turn of the 20th century. As WABE's Molly Samuel reports, local activists have fought for years to create a memorial there.
The convict leasing system grew after the end of slavery as a way to extract free labor from people who were sometimes arrested for crimes as small as loitering and then forced to work under terrible conditions. The Chattahoochee Brick Company in northwest Atlanta produced bricks that were used to build Atlanta streets and homes, as its workers lived in filth, ate rotting food, with some dying at the facility. Donna Stevens has led the effort to memorialize the people who suffered at Chattahoochee Brick.
It's been wait, stop and wait, stop and wait. Hold your breath. Pray about it. Unanswered emails and phone calls.
There's nothing at the site on the Chattahoochee River now, but there have been a couple plans over the past 5 years to develop the property into an industrial fuel shipping terminal. Both times, those plans have been scrapped, but a private company still owns the site. Now, the city of Atlanta, working with the nonprofit Conservation Fund, is laying the groundwork to buy the land.
I felt like this was an instance where we really needed to step in and help figure out how to protect this property for the long term.
Stacy Funderburk is with the Conservation Fund. His group helped negotiate with the property owner and is working with the city on the purchase. He says it's not a done deal yet, but Atlanta City Council working towards buying the property is a big step. Steven says seeing the Chattahoochee Brick site protected means a lot, historically, culturally, and environmentally.
I'm thinking God does answer prayers.
According to the mayor's office, the legislation to buy the land could go to the full city council next week. Funderburk says if passed, they'll likely close on the purchase next year. Molly Samuel, WABE News.
And Georgia State is canceling its men's basketball game tomorrow against Tennessee State because of COVID-19 protocols and other injuries. The Panthers are without one player who tested positive, and others are out because of contact tracing. Wednesday's game was canceled for what school officials called an abundance of caution. Georgia State is expected to play Mercer on Saturday. And that's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Kathleen Quillian produced today's program. Our editor was Alex Helmick. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.